Thursday, March 10th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, I want to take you to an article out of the Christian Post. While the Church of England's official policies stand against same-sex relationships, a recent survey has found that a majority of Anglicans now support the practice. In a YouGov online survey published late last month, 1,165 respondents identified as Anglican worshipers were asked whether they think same-sex marriage is right or wrong. The survey found that 55% of self-identified Anglicans said they believe same-sex marriage is right, while 29% said same-sex marriage is wrong, 17% said they don't know.
Why and how would a church radically change a foundational doctrine such as marriage and such as biblical sexuality? Both of those doctrines now have been, quote-unquote, reinvented in the Anglican Church. Literally, for a millennia, the biblical doctrine has been in place that marriage is one man and one woman, covenantal, monogamous, heterosexual, conjugal relationship for life. So the sanctity of marriage is being lost in the Anglican Church, the biblical historical doctrine, and driving this change is the loss of the sanctity of sexuality, and the result, of course, is the loss of the sanctity of family. So, Tom, we see the inroads of the sexual revolution, not simply in society, but in the church, which is supposed to be built upon the foundation of the truth of God's word and supposed to be a bulwark so that when the culture crashes upon the church, the rock that holds us is Christ as he is revealed in his word and how we are to live and what we are supposed to do in terms of a biblical world and life view. What has happened and why has it happened? Why has the church become a thermometer of the culture instead of a thermostat in the culture? You see, the motivation of Christ's church is not to be culturally accepted, not to be culturally embraced. The reality is the church is in the culture, the church affects the culture, but the reason is the church, by its very existence, is counterculture. Culture is the values by which a society lives. Well, naturally, a society lives in rebellion against God because we're born sinners. The only reason any culture has any embrace of biblical truth is because the church does its job of evangelism and discipleship. In other words, when people are won to Christ, they no longer are under the guilt of sin nor the power of sin, and increasingly they begin to eradicate the very practice of sin. Well, when that happens, their life changes, their marriage changes, their family changes, the way they do business changes, the way that they impact the world changes, and therefore the world around them changes. But the church's mission is not to change the world. The church's mission is to take the gospel and through evangelism and discipleship, change Christians from people who intentionally fall short of the glory of God as they exalt and exult in their own glory. Now that they're saved, their greatest desire is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. But how do they learn to do that? Because the church does its mission with its message, and that is a gospel-wrapped declaration of the whole counsel of God. What is its mission? Make disciples. What is its message? The gospel-contoured whole counsel of God. Then Christians have this gigantic, wonderful mission, being salt of the earth and light of the world. What's happening? The Anglican Church becomes Exhibit A, that when the church no longer lives under the eye of God and no longer is convinced that the Bible is the Word of God and no longer is directed to the glory of God through the Word of God by the power of the Spirit of God to fulfill its mission to make disciples of all the nations, to fulfill the great commandment, which is to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, then what happens is the church now begins to reflect the culture. Instead of being in the world, but not of the world, it is now another piece of furniture, and it is being conformed to the world. We have said often the sexual revolution is not looking for toleration or accommodation. It is looking for a capitulation. And what do we see? We see the Anglican Church capitulating. Tom, there's another thing I think would be interesting for you to read that we talked about. But before you do it, let me make this last statement. In the Reformation, Martin Luther led the reformers, and they all understood the ultimate issue in the church's faithfulness to Christ was what we call biblical magisterium. The scripture alone is our only rule of faith and practice. And they stood against the Roman church and ecclesiastical magisterium, that the church speaking was the final rule of faith and practice. And so they affirmed the scripture alone is our only authoritative word. Well, what is happening to the evangelical church today is cultural magisterium. We are changing our message, not because the Anglican church now found out from the Bible, oh, we had marriage wrong. Marriage isn't a man and woman united for life in a covenantal relationship. It's anything and anybody. Anybody can be married. And by the way, why stop with two? Why not have three or four? No, they didn't discover anything in the Bible that showed us that we had the doctrine of marriage and the doctrine of sexuality and the doctrine of family wrong. Oh, no, no. What they've done is found a way to capitulate to the culture, to be accepted by the culture, and that's cultural magisterium.
Harry, to that end, back in 2015, Archbishop Justin Welby addressed the issue of same-sex marriage, saying, to deal with that disagreement, to find ways forward, we need a radical new Christian inclusion in the church. This must be founded in scripture, in reason, in tradition, in theology. It must be based on good, healthy, flourishing relationships and in a proper 21st century understanding of being human and being sexual.
That is really an interesting statement. Let me just make two comments. Number one, he says, we're going to need a radical inclusion of the new definition of marriage and sexuality. Then he says, we need to find it in scripture and in tradition. Well, you're going to search high and low for it to be found in scripture. So here's the book of Genesis. First marriage, God officiates, God arranges it, God establishes the doctrine of marriage that is to be pursued by society. When Jesus came, he reminded them when they asked him about marriage, he simply quoted this text. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. One man, one woman, one life. The church has historically affirmed the biblical doctrine of marriage. You can't find it in tradition. Where will you find it? Well, then he gave you his last statement. The understanding of humanity in the 21st century. In other words, humanity untethered from God's grace and the authority of God's word will always go into a cultural death spiral as described in Romans chapter 1. And it will be manifested in familial and sexual and marital anarchy. And that's what you're seeing. And instead of the church being a bulwark of the truth, what we are seeing is now a church that reflects the culture instead of a church that is faithful to Christ. How can this change? Only one way, revival in the church. And what will that look like? Coram Deo. The church doesn't live under the eye of the culture to accommodate it. The church lives under the eye of God, directed by the inerrant, sufficient, authoritative Word of God, led by the Spirit of God to declare the preeminence of the Son of God to the glory of God the Father. O Lord, give us such a revival today.
Just like the liberal Christianity before it, contemporary progressive Christianity is actually anti-Christian, claiming to rescue Christianity from cultural irrelevance while actually undermining and denying biblical truth through cultural accommodation. Harry Reader's 9-part series, Progressive Christianity and Biblical Perspective, will help you understand this dangerous threat to the Christian faith. To order your copy of this series, go to briarwood.org/progressive CD. Well, do stop by again tomorrow, Friday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.